Happy Victory Monday out there, and Happy New Year. Welcome to 2022 with a huge 23-7 win by the Trey Lance-led San Francisco 49ers. Breaking down the rookie quarterback's performance and giving out some game balls for Week 17 right now.
You are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Brian Peacock and Eric Crocker with you. And I see everybody already jumping into the chat as we are live immediately following this Week 17 matchup where the 49ers defeated those Houston Texans 23-7 at BD Peacock on Twitter, at Eric Crocker on Twitter. A victory Monday for those of you listening on your audio podcast platforms. Welcome to you as well. Make sure you hit the subscribe button on whatever platform you are listening to this episode of Locked On 49ers. Crocky, how'd you feel about this one? The rookie Trey Lance, maybe a little shaky early, and the Niners really poured it on a little bit late in this 23-7 win.
You know, I think the good thing is shaky early on for Trey Lance was completing 10 out of 13 passes, right? So, you know, I look at it, I went into it with an open mind of not knowing exactly what I was going to see, but we'll discuss it. I liked it. I liked what I saw. We'll get more into the details of it, but overall, I liked what I saw.
Trey Area.
Touchdown, Trey Area.
I know the listeners wanted to hear the Sounders, so we'll just get to those early there with the 49ers and scoring some points behind the young rookie in Trey Lance. Let's start with the bad and get it out of the way, because really the bad was maybe things look a little sped up early in the game, and the one throw, the one interception to George Kittle, because I think there's a lot of good to get to with Trey Lance and the 49ers in this game. But it did look early like maybe Kyle Shanahan was struggling to find his rhythm, find what kind of plays he wanted to call for Trey Lance. Lance was holding on to the ball quite a bit. He did roll out a few times and extend some plays and make a couple of big throws in the first quarter. But overall, early on, even though he was completing, what was it, 10 of 13 in the first half, right?
10 of 13 with an interception. Yeah. But, yeah.
But there's the one interception to George Kittle. What do you think happened on that play? Was that George Kittle was that Trey Lance not seeing the defender underneath George Kittle? Because he was looking over there. And I thought it looked like he saw the defender underneath, saw the defender over the top, and thought he could hit the whole shot to George Kittle. And clearly it was designed to go there. Maybe that wasn't the right place to go with the football after all, but he didn't move off of it. There was still a throw to be made, although a difficult throw, but he way underthrew that. And so maybe in the end he didn't see the defender underneath.
The way that he threw it tells me he didn't see the underneath defender. Now, ideally, you would like him to see that guy. Somebody came into the flat on kind of a shallow. I think it actually might have been George Kittle. And the underneath defender was down and then kind of sunk with it. And then he tried to, like you said, fit that in there. Wasn't able to do it. You know, obviously on the replay, they showed Deebo Samuel open to the backside. And my response to that was, I have never, in all the time I've been seeing this leak play, which has been since 2017, I've started to see a bunch of teams use it. I've never seen anyone get to the backside of it. All right. So what that means a lot of times, and people don't understand this, there are the full field when you line up at the ball, at the snap. A lot of times you pick the side that you want to start your progressions or a matchup that you like, and you work off of that. So when you have tight end leak, you know you're going there no matter what. So you had the tight end leak. He's sitting, he's waiting. It's a very long developing play. It takes a while for the tight end or fullback or whoever to drag from one side to the other and sneak up there. So when you see a Deebo Samuel get open right now, 9.9 times out of 10, quarterback's not going to see that because the progression is from left to right. So I get it. You see a guy, and I said the same thing about Jimmy Garoppolo on this play against the Seahawks where you had tight end leak. He threw it to Kittle, but I brought it up like, hey, this is not in the progression to throw the post, but if they want it, it's there, right? You had Trent Sherfield get open on the post. That's just not the way the play is designed. Best case scenario right there would be for him to just not throw that ball or throw a better pass. But I can, again, you don't want to see him doing those things consistently, but if that and maybe the one before the half were kind of the two like low moments, I can live with that in someone's second start.
And I see all of it, all the users in the chat talking about the Saints game, and I'm keeping one eye on the Saints game that's still ongoing. If the Saints do fall to the Panthers, the 49ers could clinch that playoff spot. It doesn't look like it's trending in that direction. Shadow 49er, C.J. Gardner-Johnson, by the way, just sacking Sam Darnold. Panthers down 18-10 with a minute left there. They've got a second 19 on the screen that I'm currently looking at. So it's not looking good for the Panthers to knock off the Saints, but the Niners still have control for the most part next week if they're able to win, but they still need one of the Eagles or the Saints to lose, preferably the Saints, who have the Panthers this week. They have the who do they have next week? The Falcons they have next week, and the Eagles have the Dallas Cowboys. So that's what's going on with the playoff push for the 49ers. So unless the Panthers are able to have a miraculous comeback here and get a two-point conversion and tie that thing up and push it into overtime, it's looking like it's going to go on to week 18 before we know who those playoff teams are going to be in the NFC. We talked about, and yeah, you're right, Croc. We talked about numerous times with Jimmy Garoppolo doing that, you know, and sometimes getting locked into the first thing. And maybe if you see it there, you don't know that on the backside of the play, there's going to be somebody breaking wide open. So if you think there's a throw to be made with your first read that the play's designed to go to, you're going to go there. And Jimmy does that all the time. And there's always those plays where you come back and you look at it again. You're like, oh, backside of the play. Someone was deep on a crosser, on a post, whatever, wide open. And just, you're right. They never get to that. They never do. So, I fault the throw more than the decision, I think, because I think he saw the underneath defender because he was looking over there. I don't know how he couldn't have seen that defender, but maybe he didn't. But anyway, it was really the worst play, even though things felt a little disjointed.
The one before the half, too, though. There was a defender kind of, and the 49ers were trying to high-low that guy. You had Ayuk over the top. You had Hasty underneath. And instead of taking the underneath pass to Hasty, he tried to fit it over the top to Ayuk. Now, obviously, it got through because the defender dropped it. Yeah. But, you know, again, I'm looking – when I went into this game, it's what's going to be my takeaway in the sense of just where he is. It wasn't about, like, seeing this miraculous performance or thinking that he's going to come out looking better than Jimmy Garoppolo or anything like that. It was really just where is he? Where is he at in his progression? And even with the first half, I was like – I could see maybe not quite seeing the field as well as Jimmy would in a sense of just knowing where guys are, getting the ball out of his hands quick. But there are some things that he did well off of that just with where he is right now in his development, and we'll get to that.
Yeah, there was a couple other passes aside from the interceptions that did touch hands of Texans defenders, but luckily those things didn't get picked off, and Trey Lance did make a couple throws. I actually even liked the throw that he missed to Ayuk in the end zone too. That I tried to make a one-handed catch on. And but, you know, and then there was the other one on the other side of the field, deep down on the left side, that he attempted the throw. And you and I have talked about that so much, is so many good things. And we see it against the Niners all the time where guys throw it deep and maybe their receiver makes a play for him, or there's a pass interference penalty. And the Niners have gotten flagged, 19 times, I think, the most in the league this year. On those types of plays, and the 49ers never try that. So I love seeing them try that with Ayuk, and Ayuk maybe isn't the best at 50-50 balls. Niners don't really have that, you know, style of 50-50 ball player that we've talked about that I hope they address in the offseason to help young Trey out in 2022. But good things can happen there. And, you know, an incomplete pass is okay. An interception you don't want, but if you throw it in a way that you can give your receiver a chance to make a play, and good things happen. Maybe he does make a play. Maybe it's a touchdown. Maybe it's just a long pass interference penalty, which the 49ers got in this one. So I like seeing some aggressive throws, which obviously that's the one thing you don't get with Jimmy that you do get with Trey.
I would say pushing that ball down that right sideline to Ayuk before the half, that might have been his best throw of the day. I mean, it was like on the line, but it had just a little bit of touch, almost like kind of a two ball. All right, you got a one ball, two ball, three ball. That was more of a two ball. Right over the defender's hand, gave his receiver an opportunity to catch the ball. The defender was pulling the left hand away, so Ayuk was going to have to make a one-handed catch. But I just thought the placement on that and just the confidence to try to attempt that type of throw, I was really impressed with that.
I turned off the game because I didn't want to watch it anymore. Is that a final yet with Panthers-Saints, Croc?
Yeah, Panthers lost.
So that's a final. So the Saints did win that game. The 49ers did not clinch a playoff berth. It's going to go to week 18. We will have all the specific tiebreakers covered later on in the week. My brain hurts. I don't want to go through all that stuff right now, but the 49ers have not clinched. Niners, Eagles, Saints all winning in week 17.
Hey, real quick, you were talking about some of the, you know, a little bit more negatives. Again, I talked about, you could tell he's a little indecisive, and that's something that typically you would expect to see in rookies, maybe holding on to the ball a little too long. We definitely saw that, especially for someone in their second start. There was one other throw where I was like, not a great throw, but it got through, and it was the 1-2 Jennings to kind of keep a drive going where it was short. Now, I didn't see if the ball got tipped or something, but definitely that ball was – it was short. And a lot of the things that I saw with him, I came away more confident than ever that the more he throws the ball, he's just going to get more and more comfortable. So that was one thing. Just even within throws like that, where I was like, that's not a great throw, I think you started to see him still throughout the game kind of settle in a little bit more and more.
Absolutely, he settled in, got more confident, and started slinging the rock a little bit. My favorite throw of the game coming up next. We've got some game balls to give out in this one after a big 49ers win. I see the chat continuing to fill up there, so stick around after the end of our regular podcast time. We will go into OT and chat with you guys and hang out and have a lot of fun and celebrate this victory. For those of you on the audio podcast platforms, you will not get the bonus time, so come over to the YouTube and check out some of those on game day right after the pod, or maybe later on in the week, you can come see the fun that we have after hours here. More about Trey Lance, the 49ers, game balls, all that coming up after I let you guys know about Built Bar. Still got some holiday flavors you can find at Built Bar, like eggnog and caramel macchiato and gingerbread and some very special flavors. Built Bar puffs as well. We've got lemon dip cheesecake, ruby chocolate, and, of course, all of the standards, coconut brownie chunk, raspberry, peanut butter brownie, which is my favorite. Peanut butter brownie, 180 calories, 19 grams of protein in that one, and only 5 grams of sugar. In raspberry, there's only 130 calories, 17 grams of protein, and only 4 grams of sugar. Built Bar is a treat that you can feel good about. It's got that protein, so you will feel satisfied. It is the best of both worlds, healthy and delicious. And oh yeah, most Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate, which really helps those New Year's resolutions. And you don't get so bored because you're not eating fun food. Well, it's fun to eat a Built Bar that is covered in 100% real chocolate and only has 4 grams of net carbs. So go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That is promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. As Trey Lance started feeling a little bit, getting a little bit more confident later in the game, and it was pretty amazing just to watch the progression. We've talked about early in the year, the progression we've seen some other rookie quarterbacks go through. And I think the worst quarterback this year has been Zach Wilson. They dare this close to knocking off the Buccaneers Sunday. But you could see the guy on the other side, Davis Mills, playing really confident ball. And there was some awful games he had at the beginning of the season, throwing 4 interceptions. Trey Lance hasn't had the opportunity to go through those rookie growing pains in game, getting NFL reps. So it's tough for a guy like that who's 21 years old to say, okay, here you go. Here's a must-win game. We got to make the playoffs, and you have to lead us there. And you haven't had an opportunity to make all these mistakes on the field. And it was a little rocky early, but he came out of it great. We saw him progress as the game went along. Really quick game, by the way. That game was a super short one. The 49ers have had a few of those, both teams trying to keep it close and keep it low scoring and keep the ball on the ground a little bit. I hope you all took our advice and took the under on that game. The 49ers did end up covering that 12.5 points, though. But my favorite throw for Trey Lance in this game was when he rolled right in the second half and then stepped into it and just let it fly and found Deebo Samuel down the field. That is, I don't remember how long that pass play was. 45 yards, I believe, is what that pass play was. So it wasn't like, you know, a 60 air yard throw or anything crazy like that. But just to see him, and there was even a little wobble to it, but just to see him get into it and let it fly, it's just something you were not going to see from Jimmy Garoppolo. And that's the upside that Trey Lance can bring to this 49ers offense when he is starting to develop and be the full-time starting quarterback.
Yeah. Now, no knock on Jimmy Garoppolo. I think we know what he is, and he likes to throw a little bit more with timing and rhythm. So some of these longer developing plays, we've seen him let it rip here and there. The one thing that I do really like about that throw, him flattening off Deebo Samuel. You know, Deebo's angle was more upfield, and if he leads him upfield, there's an angle for not just Deebo, but the safety as well to really make it more of a contested catch. But with him kind of throwing that ball to flatten off Debo, I thought that was excellent. That was my favorite part about that throw. And maybe something that went a little unnoticed. Again, I think people saw the angle that Debo was taking and thinking, oh, he underthrew it. I thought he did an excellent job. Flatten that guy off. That was good. There were other couple throws that I was really impressed with. Obviously, the one over the middle to Ayuk coming out of the half. You know, we want to see those type of throws, right? Because when you start to think, oh, man, with Trey Lance make that throw? Remember I said that earlier. Would Trey Lance make that throw?
Yeah.
That I see Jimmy Garoppolo make. So it was good to see him be quick and decisive with the throw over the middle. Completed. A terrific job by Ayuk breaking the tackle and having a big run after catch. And then the other one was to Debo Samuel that he dropped. But to me, it was just the confidence of throwing over the middle. Again, as I'm watching this game, I know everybody wants to react to the actual performance, but to me, it was more so about where he's at in his development. So seeing him get comfortable with those type of things, those type of throws in preseason, even early in the Rams, in the Seahawks game when he came in, or in the Cardinals game, he was overthrowing slants by 5 yards. So I wanted to see, did he get a little bit more comfortable trying to attempt those type of throws? So when I'm seeing him over the middle throwing those and being confident with it and throwing it with timing, those were the things that excited me throughout the game, even more so than some of the shots down the field. Because I know that's going to be part of his game. I know that. But I need the underneath stuff as well.
I bet that excites Kyle Shanahan. I bet that throw to Ayuk excites Kyle Shanahan as much as anything else that Trey Lance did in that game. He wants the timing. Ball in the back foot, hit it out 2.5 seconds. And that's where Jimmy Garoppolo shines. Let your playmakers run with the ball after. And then you get the other bigger plays and extending and plays with his legs. That's where you get really excited about a prospect like Trey Lance.
And I'm going to talk about like him extending plays. Again, some of that comes from maybe not quite knowing exactly what he's seeing from the defense, right? You know, maybe not quite there yet in his progression, but all right, I don't know exactly what I'm seeing, but let me get out and make a play on the move. And I thought he did that a few times. That's something that can save him right now, as maybe he's not seeing the field as well as a Jimmy Garoppolo, or maybe if it's not even so much about him not seeing the field as well, but maybe not knowing exactly where his guys are, or maybe not being able to throw sometimes in the rhythm that you would like. Okay, let me get out the pocket. Let me throw on the move. I thought he did a good job of doing that. That was good to see him do that, you know, within where he's at in his progression.
For being a team that doesn't have a lot of star power and a lot of talent, I was impressed, especially early with the Houston Texans. I thought they had a nice game plan early, and they were spying Trey Lance with Justin Reed a little bit, and he was playing a pretty good game. And I mentioned this during the game, Trey Lance needs to stop trying to truck people, because that's much more difficult in the NFL. And he's like 0-for-5 so far in his NFL career trying to run over defenders, whether they're linebackers or safeties. So that's not smart. That shouldn't be a part of your game. And you need to slide, get down, get out of bounds, all those types of things when you're running around young Trey Lance. But they cracked the code eventually. Kyle Shanahan kind of got into a rhythm. My favorite play call was the Elijah Mitchell touchdown reception, right? I love seeing that, using the misdirection and then making an easy throw for him and then letting your ball carrier do it once the ball is in his hands. And I love the fact that Trey Lance had half as many carries in this game as he did the first time he started the game. So for Kyle Shanahan and Trey Lance, both shaky early, both trying to feel out how things should go in this game. And I think they both figured it out, which is exciting, right? I mean, that was super exciting to see how that game ended in the second half with the play calls and the execution from Trey Lance.
Right. And like you said, and Adam Archuleta, I thought he did a good job of kind of talking about that a few times on the live broadcast, where there is that feeling out process. Again, I know he's been around the, you know, he's been in the league now for a while, right, throughout this year. But having to call an entire game for Trey Lance, understanding his strengths, his weaknesses, what he can do, how he sees the field, especially with how maniacal Kyle Shanahan is with how he wants things done, that's probably a challenge. And I think it's not going to be the first time. I had a very slow first half. The second half went better. I don't think that's the end of seeing lulls in the game. So those are that's a conversation for another time as you move on to the Rams game, which is a big one now that I will be attending. But the ups and downs, like that's still going to be there because there is that filling out process between Kyle, Trey, and understanding where Trey is in his development.
Elijah Mitchell ended up getting 21 carries for 119 yards on the ground. As we thought, he would get a heavy workload if he was allowed to play, even though he was questionable all week with the knee injury. It did look like he was coming up a little bit limpy and maybe didn't have quite as much juice to him on that one long run of the game where it looked like he was going to break it. And he said, I got to change hands with this ball and try to stiff arm this guy because I'm not going to get there. And he was walking slow after that, and he actually left the game. They handed the ball to Debo. He didn't get in either. The 49ers eventually ended up scoring. But it was nice to have Elijah Mitchell back for Kyle Shanahan to have his full complement of ball carriers. And it was Lance and it was Debo. And I know that Jeff Wilson was in the game a number of times, even though he didn't officially get a carry. But I love the personnel package when they have Debo and Jeff Wilson on the field, and then they move Debo to the backfield. So it goes from being 11 personnel to 21 personnel, and they use Jeff Wilson as a fullback, and he's physical and he can do that. And so I love how that puts stress on a defense, and yet you can really change things around and change the look versus what you think it's going to be going into the huddle against the defense. So I love seeing those. Anybody else you want to call out on offense before we go to defense and give out some game balls, Croc?
I think that's good. Well, the lack of usage with George Kittle, you know, and again, that's George Kittle. So what's the player thinking? What's the coach thinking? I try to like think through through the eyes of them. And I think with George Kittle, obviously we had that one throw late in the game. And even that one, I'm not going to say it worried me, but it didn't drop down. It was still kind of on this upward kind of trajectory a little bit. And obviously, you know, Kittle did an amazing job of reaching out with one hand, coming down with the pass. But, you know, those worry you a little bit because if that goes off of his hand, it's tipped in the air. And you know what happens over the middle, tips and overthrows, that's interceptions. So, again, I'm looking at it through just an evaluation with him. And I like the completion. I like the result of it. But that's something that I'm going to keep an eye on. And I'll look to see if he is the starter next week, how, you know, that goes through. And how they start to utilize George Kittle a little bit more. Because good job, you know, they got him the ball in the end around and then they targeted him late, but outside of that he wasn't really involved. So do they do different things to kind of get the ball to George Kittle right now, give him more catch and run opportunities? I think that only helps your young guy through this process. So get Kittle more involved. That's something I'll be looking out for.
Yeah, Kittle's got to be Trey Lance's best friend going forward. And I said it last week when Kittle had three targets, and I'll say it again this week. It's pretty much unacceptable to have only two targets for George Kittle when your best player's on offense. You got to find ways to get him the ball, like you find ways to get Debo Samuel the ball, and especially in the passing game. And that's your security blanket is George Kittle. So I want to see more of that. I want to see more than two targets. He did have the one catch for 29 and then that one carry for 6 yards on the end around. One touch per half for George Kittle is not going to cut it. Right. I don't care who your quarterback is. Can't happen. So that's definitely something I'm looking for the 49ers to continue to have George Kittle as heavily involved as possible. Let's talk 49ers defense against the Houston Texans offense next and give out some week 17 game balls. Those of you in the live chat, hang out because we are going to chat with you after the podcast is over and hang out a little bit and celebrate this 49ers 23-7 victory over the Houston Texans. I've got an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It is called Get Upside. I downloaded this app and I'm blown away how easy it is to get cash back when you're getting gas. Go get the best deal on gas you can get. You open it up. There's a map. It says, here's a gas station. Here's the deal. You can get 25 cents back per gallon when you go fill up here. You claim it. Great. You go. You get gas and you get that money in your account. It's super easy. I don't know why anybody who gets gas would not use this app. And it's not just gas either. You can find some other deals at Get Upside. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or use promo code Touchdown and get a 25 cents per gallon bonus as well on your first fill up. So that's up to 50 cents cash back on your first fill up. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. You can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal. You can do an e-gift card or a number of brands. You can get a gift card if you want to buy a gift for somebody with your cash back that you receive from GetUpside. Just download the free GetUpside app, use promo code Touchdown, and get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. Again, that is promo code Touchdown with the GetUpside app. Croc, I want to highlight one comment in the chat first here. Looking at that Houston Texans offense, what do you think? Future 49er, Brandon Cooks? Because that was about all that the Houston Texans could muster against the Niners in this one. And I love the way they utilized him. Even though he's 5'8", he can make plays down the field where you can't even see him. It's like, where's he throwing the ball? And then the defender moves, and it's like, oh, Brandon Cooks is hiding back there. And he comes down with the catch. How does he do that at 5'8"? I love watching Brandon Cooks play. He's a really underrated player around the league. He's spent times on numerous rosters in the league, but teams always want to trade for him because he's a good player. And he got Kaywan Williams on the slot fade, which if I'm a, and look, got the PI on Norman on the left side. If I'm a team going up against the 49ers, I'm absolutely throwing deep on the outside or targeting Kaywan on the deep shots from the slot if he's in man coverage, because that's where the 49ers are susceptible if their defensive line isn't getting there. Luckily for the 49ers, their defensive line actually got stronger as the game went on and started harassing Davis Mills a little bit. What'd you think about the 49ers defensive effort against those Houston Texans and Davis Mills and Brandon Cooks?
Well, we can't talk about Brandon Cooks without talking about where he's from. You know what I'm saying? So north side of Stockton, you know, I got to let that be known. That's the little homie. But he is the most underrated receiver in the NFL. I mean, he's a walking 1,000-yard receiver every single year. Nobody talks about him. I think there's been 2 years in his career where he didn't go over 1,000. And before, you know, they put on the quarterbacks he played with. Now he's playing with Davis Mills, and he's still being extremely productive. So hopefully he is a future 49er. He gets to come back to the crib and be productive and be a guy that can stretch the field for the 49ers. It was awesome to see him do well, but obviously you don't want it to be at the expense of the 49ers defense. I think overall, the 49ers defense played well. They were flying around. I thought they challenged the Houston Texans more on third downs by playing a little bit more man coverage. Obviously, you had the two pass interference calls, and they were kind of back-to-back. The one on Josh Norman, and he got pulled after that. So I think that answers the question as far as who's going to be in there. Come playoff time when Emmanuel Mosley comes back, it ain't going to be Josh Norman.
All right? Oh, you think it'll be Mosley and Thomas?
Yeah, Josh Norman got pulled. He got yanked.
Oh, that's right. He got yanked for and Dante Johnson still had a PI on the very next play. So,
and I thought his PI, it was a little bit more of like, okay, I see. The one Josh Norman, that was ridiculous. That was no call. Dante Johnson's, there was a little tug. I didn't think it was like, oh, I'm impeding his progress that much. It was like a slight tug. But, you know, every time they show pass interference on the replay, it's like super slow motion. So it looks like somebody's holding someone for like 10 seconds. And then it's like, oh, of course, that's a flag. It was a quick tug. He went to knock the ball away. I thought it was solid coverage. He had the nice pass breakup, two of them late in the game. Good coverage from Dante Johnson. So that was solid. That's why you have him. Sixth cornerback that can come in at any time. And just, it can help. But this is all about, obviously, the safeties, they did good. Tart flying around as usual. He's excellent. You had to punch out from Fred Warner. But let's talk about Ambry Thomas and the development of that young guy. Again, we talked about some of his shortcomings, and a lot of it was because of, well, down the field, he just wasn't tracking the ball in and making the play on the ball. He had a third down play earlier when he nearly had a pick six, played catch technique. I like to see it. Changed up his alignment at the snap, sat on the route, made contact, went for the pick. Should have been to the crib. All right, but just to see him, he plays with a lot of confidence. I saw it in this game. I saw it in the game against Tennessee. He has to continue that. But really liked what I'm seeing from him. And as you continue to go, there's, again, just like Trey Lance, anybody else, there's going to be ups, there's going to be downs. But I like seeing he has the ability. That's the biggest thing. Can you play in this league? And I think the answer for that with Ambry Thomas is definitely yes.
Yep. And again, it's the at the catch point stuff. And this time it wasn't, you know, someone going over the top of him, but it was him being in the position to get an interception and get your hands on it. And he's like, you know,
It's like it looked like he didn't even have hands. He's like, dude, catch the ball. What are you doing? That's why he plays defense, though, right, Croc? On the DB catch. So
I had 11 interceptions in 1 year.
But yeah. No, pull down the interception, Ambry Thomas. But no, he's the last 2 weeks he's been playing much better. And teams are even targeting the opposite side of the field more than his side of the field, especially this week. So when Emmanuel Mosley comes back, he's going to start. He's been on the left side. So is it Dante Johnson and Emmanuel Mosley? Is it Ambry Thomas and Emmanuel Mosley? Or does Josh Norman get another shot even though he was yanked in this one?
I think it's Ambry Thomas, because that's who you put your eggs in that basket. You drafted him. You want to develop him. You're seeing him get better and better or more comfortable each week. All right. So you want to continue that going. And I believe he's going to get the first crack at it because that's who they want to be good. They want him out there. Again, everybody gets on Josh Norman they don't want Josh Norman to have to be out there. It just was what the situation is or was. So until a guy like Ambry Thomas is ready, then, yeah, you get Ambry Thomas in there and you play him with Mosley. And I'm sorry, Rook, but you're going to have to go to the other side and play that right corner as Mosley holds down the left side or wherever he decides to line up.
That's tough because Mosley's played right corner in the past. I know in college, Ambry Thomas did line up on the right side a lot. So, yeah, so you move the rookie over. I bet they go Dante Johnson and Mosley. I don't know if they're going to switch sides with him. And you know Mosley's going to have the left side. I wouldn't be surprised if Josh Norman's back out there either. I mean, it is awesome that you – and we got to get out of here. As much as Dante Johnson gets grief from 49ers fans, it is nice when it comes to this sort of a situation that you have a competent veteran quarterback corner. They go out there and play and give you snaps. So that was a great point.
And it's not just corner. He can play outside. He can play nickel. And he also can line up at safety. So that's why you keep a guy around like him. Sixth guy on your roster, but the versatility in it, and having to play him in a pinch like right now, I think you're comfortable with that as opposed to maybe even throwing Diamador Lenore out there.
We got to get to the game balls on this portion of the podcast, Croc. There's some more defenders that I think need to be highlighted. So I'm going to use this opportunity to highlight Fred Warner, who was all over the place in this one. 15 total tackles. He got a tackle for a loss. He's flying around the field. He's looking a lot more recently like the guy the 49ers paid big money to, like all-pro Fred, even though he started the season a little bit slow. I just love seeing Fred Warner set the tone, fly around the field, and make plays in the backfield and sniff out screens and things like that. And when he's all over the field, it just, you know, makes the field a lot smaller for opposing offenses. So I'm going to start with giving Fred Warner a game ball.
Yeah, almost got that takeaway. We've been waiting for him to make a play on the ball, whether an interception, fourth fumble, the things that you're used to seeing from him. He punched one out, 49ers weren't able to recover it. I think game ball is going to go to
Warner. Oh, sorry. I just want to say, was that the one where, because I don't think he even knew he popped it out. Because then he saw him like jump on the ball afterwards, and he's like, oh, I didn't know I knocked the ball out.
Yeah, he saw that. He saw that late.
By the way, Marcel Harris got bailed out hard. On that,
he did. The refs helped us. The pass interference, I could see it. You know, I hate the pass interference calls on DBs. Yeah. Not even just against the Niners, like against other. The corner was there a little early. Whatever, he threw it into double coverage. I mean, it's like there's gonna be some contact. But anyways, that forward progress stopped. I said thank you, thank you, refs. They did a good job there because that I don't know how they called that. It was a fumble, but it helped the 49ers. Awesome. Great. My first game ball definitely has to go to Trey Lance. Just to see that, although there were moments where you could tell that he needed to settle in a little bit, I still never, ever felt that it was too much for him. Even when it was somewhat of a stagnant offense, he still was able to move the ball and kind of make some plays with his legs. But just seeing what I want from him and I think what Kyle wants from him as well, as a pure passer, and to see him start to, you know, get that, especially as the game went on. Again, everybody talks about the first half. Terrible first half. He completed 10 out of 13 passes, did have the interception. I'm saying it could be a lot worse, and we've seen worse from Trey Lance. So I like where his progression is going. I like how he evolved throughout this game. Definitely have to get the first game ball to him. And I'll kind of tag team this, him and the defense, because the defense did a really good job of never letting this game have to, like, to put it on his shoulders to where he has to do more. So I pair them up, the defense and Trey Lance. Good job.
Yeah, I think in the end, just giving D'Amico Ryans a game ball is the way to go about that, because the Texans really just had that one drive, that one long touchdown drive in the first half. And that ended in that Brandon Cooks touchdown. Aside from that, the Texans really didn't get anything going all day long. And so good job by the entire defense, and good job, Trey Lance. He absolutely gets a game ball in this one. I'll give a game ball to Elijah Mitchell. You know, he went over the triple digit mark again on the ground. The 49ers run game is definitely better with him in there than any of the other running backs so far this year. You know, aside from two carries from Raheem Mostert, we didn't really get to see what his season was going to look like. He had the 37 yarder. So you break out the big run too, which the 49ers running game hasn't had a lot of recently, unless it was Deebo Samuel making plays out of the backfield. Too many carries for Deebo again, though. Like, okay, you got Elijah Mitchell back. Deebo Samuel's a wide receiver. Let's use him like that. You know, 2-3 carries is fine. But so more targets for Deebo as a true receiver, more targets for George Kittle, if I had to say anything about the game plan here. But
and overall, I'd say less carries for Elijah Mitchell. I mean, the game was put away, and Kyle has done this a lot where the game is away and it's like, no, we're still going to give you 5, 6, 7 more carries. Now, obviously, it helped him. He sprung off a big one that put him over 100 yards for the game, but I don't want to see him be banged up. All right. Now, my next game ball, definitely, and I see everybody in the chat saying it, Brandon Ayuk. You know, just coming through, playing strong through contact, making those type of plays, almost pulling in the one-hand one in the end zone. I like seeing that, challenging defenders downfield. Shout out to Trey Lance throwing that ball. Great ball placement, gave his guy an opportunity to make a play. The toe tap on the sideline right before the half, the near interception, I thought that was a terrific catch. And again, over the middle, when guys are coming down and bearing down on you, where you're potentially going to get your head taken off, him catch the ball, focus on that, take the shot, spin out of that, and get yards after catch. I thought that was awesome. Almost 100 yards, damn near all of it, you know, between the first half and that first drive in the second half. Didn't see him after that, but I like what he did as far as contributing in the passing game.
You know, Brandon Ayuk, too, probably one of the smartest business decisions of any player on the team this year, is doing extra work with the guy who's going to be your next franchise quarterback. You know, after practice, before the games. Like, that's smart. I mean, that's genius, right? For Brandon Ayuk. Right. And you can tell there's a rapport there and there's a trust there. And Trey Lance will allow Brandon Ayuk to make some plays. And so I love seeing that. Brandon Ayuk, 4 catches, 94 yards. Yeah, the toe tapper and the 43 yarder he had. So big plays and the PI too. You got to count that as a big play with Trey Lance trusting his guy, even though he didn't come down with the ball. It's a big play to get that pass interference. So overall, great game for the 49ers. Looked a little dicey in the first half. After halftime, they turned it on a little bit, beat a team that they should beat, that they had to beat to keep their playoff hopes alive. And now it's going to go into week 18. Got the Rams coming up next. Everybody in the chat, stick around. We are going to hang out for a while and talk about more of this game. Croc and I will continue to talk about this game, the Rams, everything going on with the 49ers, the playoff tiebreakers later on this week. Thanks everybody for making us your first listen every day right here, Locked On 49ers.